Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 12, Killing of the Demon Agasura, text number 34. Tato ti rishta sukrito kritarhanam. Pushpai suga apsarashash. Cha Naratanai Gitai Sura Vadya Darashta Vadya Kai Stavaisha Vipra Jaya Nis Vanar Guna Kanamsha Vipra Jaya. Tata, thereafter, Atirishta, everyone becoming very much pleased. Swakrita, own respective duty. Akrita, executed. Aranam, in the shape of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pushpai, by showering flowers grown in Nanda Kandana from the heavens. Swaga, the celestial singers. Apsara Sacha, and the celestial dancing girls. Nartanai, by dancing. Hitai, by singing celestial songs. Sura, all the demigods. Vadya Daracha, those who played on musical drums. Vadya Kai, by playing respectively. Stavai, Cha, and by offering prayers. Vipra, the Brahmanas. Jayanish, Vanai, simply by glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Gana, everyone. Translation, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, everyone being pleased, the demigods began to shower flowers from Nandana Kanana. The celestial dancing girls began to dance, and the Gandharvas, who are famous for singing, offered songs of prayer. The drummers began to beat their kettle drums, and the Brahmins offered Vedic hymns. This way, both in the heaven and on earth, everyone began to perform his own duties, glorifying the Lord. Purport, everyone has some particular duty. The Shastra has concluded, Nirupitai, that everyone should glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his own qualifications. If you are a singer, always glorify the Supreme Lord by singing very nicely. If you are a musician, glorify the Supreme Lord by playing musical instruments. Svanustitasya dharmasya samsidir hargtoshanam. Bhagavatam 1.2.13. Perfection of life is to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, beginning from the earth up to the celestial kingdom, everyone engaged in glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A little mistake there should be. Therefore, beginning from this earth up to the celestial kingdom, everyone is engaged in glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Could someone write that down? I send these mistakes into Dravida. It is the decision of all great saintly persons is that whatever qualification one has acquired should be utilized to glorify the Supreme Lord. Idam hi pumsas tapasa shrutasyava śrītasya suktasya cabuti datayo avichuto ta kavibir nirupito yadutama shloka gunanuvardhanam. Learned sages have definitely concluded that the infallible purpose of the advancement of knowledge, austerity, Vedic study, sacrifice, chanting of hymns, and charity is found in the transcendental scriptures of the qualities of the Lord, who is defined in choice poetry. This is the perfection of life. One should be trained how to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead by one's respective qualities. Education, austerity, penance, or in the modern world, business, industry, education, and so on, should all be engaged in glorifying the Lord, and everyone in the world will be happy. Krishna comes therefore to exhibit his transcendental activities so that people may have the chance to glorify him in every respect. To understand how to glorify the Lord is actually research work. It's not that everyone everything should be understood without God. That is condemned. Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasya Jati Shastram Chapastapa Apranasyaiva Dehasya Mandanam Loka Ranjanam. Without Bhagavad Bhakti, without glorification of the Supreme Lord, whatever we have is simply a decoration of the dead body. So the translation again. Thereafter, everyone being pleased, the demigods began to shower flowers from the Nandana Kandana. The celestial dancing girls began to dance, and the Gandharvas, who were famous for singing, offered songs of prayer. The drummers began to beat their kettle drums, and the Brahmins offered Vedic hymns. In this way, both in the heaven and on the earth, everyone began to perform his own duties, glorifying the Lord. Krishna, being the reservoir, the original source of everything, is also the reservoir of all pleasure. And to experience that pleasure, one has to put Krishna in one's heart. Putting Krishna in the heart means remember Krishna. But in order to remember Krishna, there is a process of doing that. In other words, generally people don't know about Krishna. Natevidu, Swantikatim, Hivishnu, Dharashayaya Bahir Artamanina. Because they don't know that Krishna is a reservoir of pleasure, either even theoretically or by experience. Therefore, Arta Bahir Arta Manina, they have to take something else to put in their heart. Everyone has something in their heart. Everyone is thinking of something. If you don't, one doesn't think about Krishna, then actually, in the modern world, one will think about money and women, or women will think about men. Because that's the highest pleasure in the material world. Money, money sweeter than honey. The professional soldier, the thief, and the businessman, they'll risk their very dear lives just to get some money. Because it's sweeter than honey. Because with the money, you can buy honey. And that, so therefore people are constantly thinking about how to get money to get honey. In fact, they call the girlfriends honey. But actually the real honey is Krishna. But people don't know that. Therefore they have to settle for something less exciting, less satisfying, less appreciative and loving. But in order to put Krishna in our heart, we have to stop our competition. In other words, we're in a masquerade party in the material world. Everyone has put on these masquerades, these costumes, and is imagining they're playing some part here. Usually the main parts are in every 8,400,000 species of life. It's either Romeo or Juliet, or Tarzan or Jane, or Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse. That's generally the costumes we put on, and 8,400,000 species of life, and we play as if we're the divine couple. And of course, because people don't know Krishna and they don't follow his instructions, therefore their attempts to become the divine couple are always failures. They can become the divine couple, if they're engaged in Krishna service. If the purpose of their lives is to put Krishna in one's heart, to assist each other to put Krishna in the heart, then when Krishna is in the heart and one can feel love for Krishna, Krishna is love, then one can actually love others also. One can see how Krishna is expanded everywhere, and if one loves Krishna, one will love everyone. Ita ptura mula nishet shenena tripyanti tatskanda bujo pushaka pranahara chayatendriyanam tataiva sarvahanam atuteja. Just like if you water the root of the tree, then the water goes to all the leaves and branches. Or by supplying food to the stomach, then actually all the different parts of the body is served. So similarly, if one serves Krishna, then automatically the love will be distributed to all living entities. If Krishna is in one's heart, then one will naturally be attractive to everyone because Krishna is all attractive. It's not that we, the tiny soul, are all attractive, but if Krishna is in our heart, then apparently we become attractive, but it's not us, it's Krishna who's attractive. We may think ourselves to be the super soul, but that's a false understanding. We're simply, by the mercy of Krishna and his representatives, we can understand the process of putting Krishna in our heart, and the more we put Krishna in our heart, the more we feel ecstasy, the more that ecstasy and love is distributed to all living entities. It's not that it just stops in our heart. When the heart is absorbed in Krishna consciousness, it's distributed everywhere. And if we are in material consciousness, that consciousness is also distributed. If one is angry, then one can feel the anger. People who are associating with such angry people feel the anger too. And they usually become angry. If people are lusty, then by their association, one will become lusty. If one is trying to become good, appreciate the air and the flowers, and whatever, then one also develops a similar mentality. Satsanga. But Purusha Prakriti Sohi Bhunkte Prakriti Jangunai Karna Guna Sangosya Sat Asad Yoni Janmisu. Thus the living entity follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes. It is due to his association with these three modes, and thus he meets with both good and evil amongst the various species. Anyhow, it's Sat Asad. It's always temporary. There's no permanent. And therefore, ultimately, it's always frustrating. The better one thinks one is enjoying, the more it suffers when it's taken away. Therefore, the people who work hard to get accumulate material wealth and try to enjoy it, they're the most miserable at the end of life. And they can't enjoy it anymore, and it's all being taken away from them. The conclusion is, the greatest benefit is to put Krishna in the heart. But in order to do that, then Chaitasya Sarvakaramani Maya Sanyasya Matraha Puri Yogam Upashitya Matshita Saratam Bhava. In all activities, depend upon me. And work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. So the first thing to become conscious of is nothing here belongs to us. It all belongs to Krishna. It is all meant for Krishna's service. And therefore, whatever we're doing, which is authorized by Krishna's representatives, should be done to please Krishna. The example is always given that the hand may try to enjoy the food, but it won't be possible. We may try to enjoy the material energy, like the hand trying to enjoy the food, But the hand can't enjoy the food, nor can we enjoy the material energy. In the real sense of real enjoyment, at least enjoyment that is perpetual and goes on and doesn't have any reaction. It's not that one moment you think you're enjoying, the next moment you're suffering. So, naturally the hand has to give the food to the stomach. When the hand gives the food to the stomach, then the hand also enjoys. Similarly, when one understands that everything here is meant for Krishna's service and utilizes all one's energies within one's realm of influence in Krishna's service, then the result is that one will also become happy by becoming conscious of Krishna. At least that much. If we do something, we utilize Krishna's energies in His service, and naturally, to some degree or another, we have to remember Him. And even more intense is when we do what Krishna's representatives tell us, either Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and we do that. That's called Jnana Yoga. We know, to know what Krishna wants us to do, that's called knowledge. And when we do it to please Him, that's called bhakti. And when we perform bhakti yoga, then Krishna, not only we can remember Krishna, but we can also feel Krishna, because we're also putting our feeling into the service. By karma yoga, we can become free from our anxiety, what to do, what not to do, acting dutifully. By jnana yoga, we can even remember Krishna and meditate on Him. But only from bhakti yoga we actually feel His presence, feel His loving, His transcendental divine energy of yoga maya. Daivim prakritim ashritya. The great souls, mahatmanas tumam parata, daivim prakritim ashritya, bhajatnya nanya manaso gyatva buddhidem avya. Those who are great souls, mahatmas, are always engaged in the, always under the protection of the divine energy. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mahatmanas tumam partha, daivim prakritim ashritya. So our goal is to come under the shelter of the daivi prakriti. And that daivi prakriti accompanies Krishna. It's not possible to come under the daivi prakriti in maya. One has to decide whether I want daivi prakriti, I want to be under the shelter of daivi prakriti and serve Krishna, or I want to serve my senses, whimsically, without any connection with Krishna. And whether to serve Krishna is quite simple compared to working like a dog, to eat like a hog, to sleep like a bear, and have sex like a pigeon. That's relatively difficult to do that. But to become Krishna conscious, satatam kirtayantamam yatantas chadridavrataha namasyantasumam bhakta nityukta upasate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. So to chant Hare Krishna and to engage in some kind of service that we're inspired by, and develop the proper understanding of our very small position and how great Krishna is, and how great Krishna's energies are, how great Krishna's devotees are. To develop love and humility go together. Without humility, there's no question of real love. So we want to keep our false ego in the front of us and imagine ourselves to be very great. Everything depends upon us. Then it's not possible to love Krishna, nor to love anyone else either, except for our false ego, which doesn't give us very much return. Matter of fact, we're probably the only ones who love our false ego, and our false ego doesn't love us. So it's not a very good reciprocation. On the other hand, if one is engaged with whatever means one has and does it under the guidance of Krishna's representatives to please Krishna, then one will become Krishna conscious and will become perpetually happy in association with Krishna. They talk about love. There's so many magazines. There's so many books that talk about love, romance. But actually, this is all false. It's just reflection. The real romance, the real love, is in the spiritual world with Krishna. But it's not this material romance which breaks all the time. It's based upon reciprocation of feelings, divine feelings. And the divine feelings, known as bhava, have endless variety of pleasure and affection and love. So that's what we're looking for. But no one is finding. And even if you find one's soulmate, then either you're going to die or they're going to die. That's the end of the soulmate. And if you accompany them, if they were impious and they become a dog, then you'll become a dog too. The love affair will continue. But that would not be very auspicious. No prasadam, no Sunday feast, no chanting Hare Krishna, just woof, woof, woof. The conclusion is, whatever talents we have, they can be offered in Krishna's service, especially if they're properly directed to actually sankirtan, to glorify Krishna, actually prove to people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That will be more evident when we actually become, as much as we become conscious of Krishna, then we can also affect other people. Not that we talk about how blissful Krishna consciousness is, and we're morose all the time. One has to open the bottle of honey and get into the honey, into the consciousness of Krishna, by following the process, and that will be more effective in spreading Krishna consciousness. In any case, if simply one takes the effort to spread Krishna consciousness, then Krishna will actually reciprocate, because it's very dear to Krishna, that service, and to one degree or another, become empowered to become an instrument for Krishna. And as we experience ourselves as an instrument for Krishna, our faith in Krishna will increase, especially if we're intelligent and know that it's not us who are doing it. It's actually we're becoming empowered because we've agreed to participate in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement and give the mercy of Krishna consciousness to others. So Krishna gives us mercy, because we want to give mercy to others. Otherwise, it's not possible to give any mercy to others if we ourselves don't have it to give. So Krishna has to give it to us in order to give it to others. Therefore, preaching is highly beneficial. But we won't preach unless we follow, because we won't believe in what we're preaching. If we go out and even distribute books and we don't know why we're doing it, we won't be as effective as if we understand that we're actually giving people mercy. Otherwise, it may become just a business deal. See how much Lakshmi we can collect. Unless we're interested in the souls to bring them to Krishna, it becomes a business deal. But even if it's a business deal, it's still auspicious, because at least they get something divine. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you for the lecture. I would like to ask if I could be a contribution for the cause. For the cause, there in the farm, and I'm taking milk from the farmer there.
Yeah.
And if I could give them the cause some prasadam, some nuts or something, if they have some benefits of this.
Yeah, I'm sure they get some benefit. I don't know how much, I can't say. Each cashew advances them, but they get some benefit. Just like we get some benefit. There's no real difference. Of course, Prabhupada said that we get more benefit when we understand it's prasadam, that it's been offered to Krishna. Then there's a kind of consciousness that we're accepting mercy. But still, it's Fire will always act like fire. So I'll get some benefit. But I wouldn't spend my life feeding the cows. Prashadam.
I know that I could not save them because I could.
Yeah, I'll give them some prashadam. Chant Hare Krishna also.
I'm going there in the cows surrounding and put some.
Just call out Govinda to them. Okay. Maybe they'll remember Govinda, the protector of the cows. Anything else? Yes. Govinda.
I would like to ask maybe you gave some advice how to distribute books better.
The science of distributing books is patience, conviction, and enthusiasm. However you develop patience, conviction, and enthusiasm, and rely upon the super soul, Krishna, to bring the right people and to give us the intelligence how to attract them to take the book. Especially with patience, conviction, and enthusiasm. Unless one is patient, be able to listen to people and analyze them, unless one is convinced that this is really what people need and rely upon the super soul, give us the intelligence how to convince them that this is what they need. And unless we have enthusiasm, why will people buy anything? People buy enthusiasm. Every advertisement is just based on enthusiasm. Did you ever see an advertisement where the people trying to sell things are just morose? Here, take this iPhone. It's ridiculous. It's overpriced. Just zaps you with radiation, but you don't buy it. I need the money. No, people have to be super enthusiasm. Whatever they sell, it's by enthusiasm. Of course, it's not enough. People, if we overwhelm people with enthusiasm, they'll take it as fanaticism. They may be a little attracted, but you know, better to have some clear vision of who we're dealing with by the mercy of the super soul, so we know with our enthusiasm how to present this book to them, so they take it. And one secret is don't spend too much time with anyone. The more you spend time with people, the more they get it mental. We may think that they are actually, you know, we're preaching to them, we may think they're actually soaking it in, getting realization. But actually they're just looking at us like, you know, what are you talking about? So make it simple. Relate to people in a very simple way. How many children do you have? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? Wow, that's fantastic. You're great. Your family's great. Everything about you is great. And this book will just make you even more great. But you're a nice person, we know. So, you know, take the book and give a donation because you're our savior. So I'll make it short. So that people don't get on the mental platform. They're already on the mental platform. But if you're convinced enough and enthusiastic enough and discerning enough, at least for a few moments, they may get off the mental platform. And that's when you ask them for a donation. And the super soul will tell them, give, because they're finally listening to the super soul. Then you get the donation and they get a book. And if you wait too long, then they get out of the control of the super soul, and they get into the control of the illusory energy, and there's no way you're going to give them a book. They'll tell you how nice your talk was, but they're not interested. Is that right? Anything else?
On the same topic, how can we shorten also get contacts and have established a relationship that you can follow up with these people?
As I said, even our own devotees in our movement, we don't have a contact with them. Even they don't chant Hare Krishna at home. You know, without having a regular program at home, you know, then if either in Krishna consciousness, you're in Maya. There's no, you know, it's not like you develop divine love by being in Maya. The more you're in Maya, the deeper you sink. So people, you know, we contact them. We do have to invite them to come to the temple. And if they come, they come. If they don't come, they don't come. And when they come, then we have to introduce Krishna consciousness to them. You know, in a way that's understandable. Eventually, we want to get them to have some home program. So that, you know, then they become established in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we're just imagining that people are devotees, or even aspiring devotees. We're polite. We want to encourage people. But if they're not regularly chanting Hare Krishna and having a program, they're just under the illusory energy.
I'm thinking about when we are inviting people to the temple, then sometimes, of course, we should preach according to time, place, and circumstances and the audience. But sometimes I feel like I have seen devotees preaching to like new people. And, you know, if we say it's like, you know, Krishna is God and things like that, people take it as like, you know, they want to defend that, oh, I don't want to change my religion, and then they don't even show up. So,
well, I mean, we have to use our intelligence, obviously. Say the things that will turn people off immediately. No, we invite them to come take prasadam. We find out, better to find out from people what they're interested in and relate to Krishna consciousness according to their interests, find mutual interest, rather than try to put our understanding on them. Well, they have no background. They have no experience to understand what we're talking about. We hardly understand either. What to speak of trying to convince others of things that we don't understand. No, we should be nice to people. That's the most important thing. Convince people. If we're nice to them, if we're actually genuinely concerned about them, that will have a lot more effect than any kind of philosophy we give them. Of course, we shouldn't be overly sentimental and talk about our favorite movies with them. No, we should try to be nice to them, give them prasadam, and find out their interests, and see if we can, you know, introduce something about Krishna consciousness to them, as much as they can, according to who they are. But we shouldn't waste time either. If someone's not receptive, it's, Krishna consciousness is based on love. You can't force love on others. They have to be willing to accept it. Anything else? Vala, Grantaraya Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.